You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So over these few weeks, we are doing some of the Christmas carols. We're sharing the story behind the Christmas carols in association with the Nativity story. It is the second Sunday of Advent, and I'm going to share with you the story behind my favorite Christmas carol, which is O Holy Night, O Holy Night. But before we do that, I want to read to you from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and then verses 4 to 7. Just on Wednesday night, I had the honor and the opportunity, thanks to Hope for Justice, for being able to share this passage at the Duke of Westminster's house and private chapel. And we had an amazing night of opera and learning together. And what a joy it is to share this verse with you today. Luke chapter 2, it says this: "In those days, Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David." Now, let me just pause for a moment and just say how amazing this opening line of the Nativity story is here. You see, for thousands of years, it was prophesied that the Messiah should be born in Bethlehem. There was a problem, though. God had a problem. And the problem was that Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. Mary was pregnant. She was soon to give birth to this baby child. But it just so happened, almost the original language reads it as luck would have it, by coincidence, it just so happened that the governor decided that everybody should go to their hometowns to register. Now, because Joseph's line was from the town of Bethlehem, he had to take his very pregnant Mary on a donkey, and they made their way, only about a 3 or 4 day journey, to the little village, the little town of Bethlehem. How cool is this? God was so committed to seeing his purposes come to pass that he organized for the whole of the world to be moving to accommodate his plans. I don't know if you know why you're in central Manchester today. Maybe you just thought, you know what, I'm here because my family are here, because I was born here. Maybe you came here to study. Maybe you thought it'd be a good place to come and work. I want you to know something. You're not here because of any of those reasons. You're here because God, in his foresight and in his planning, decided that you should be and could be the right person in the right place at the right time. Audacious Church, look at me just for a moment. Everybody watching online, look at the screen. Hear these words. God has a plan for your life. The Bible says, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to get this, prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." Now, you may not like the north of England in the middle of winter, but you're here because God's got a plan for your life. Let me ask this question. If you weren't born in Manchester, lift up your hand right now. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Now, if you weren't born in England, put your hands down. If you weren't born in England, put your hands down. In other words, if you got your hand up, you're from another country. You were born in another country. If you were born in another country, stand to your feet quickly around this place. That was as clear as mud, wasn't it? Made sense in my head. Okay, we're going to go with the continent of Africa. Shout out from African nations where you may be from. Okay, if you are from Nigeria, give me a wave. Whoa, Nigeria, you can take a seat. Kenya, give me a wave. Anyone from Kenya? Awesome, grab a seat. If you are from Uganda, give me a wave. Best pineapples in the world are in Uganda. Grab a seat, Zimbabwe. Anyone here from Zimbabwe? You're amazing, grab a seat. If you're here from South Africa, all right, where's the biltong, brothers and sisters? Grab a seat. Where else? Africa, where else in Africa? Anyone else? You're laughing at me, but there's like hundreds of countries. Where are you from? The Congo, awesome, Congo. Grab a seat, Rwanda, who's from Rwanda? Rwanda, beautiful, amazing Rwanda. Grab a seat, where else we got? Ghana, Didn't I say Ghana? Ghana, good to have you here. Grab a seat, Ghana. Where else? Tanzania. Zambia, Malawi, Egypt. Who's here from Egypt? Where else? Anyone else? Africa. Botswana. Cameroon. We have Cameroonians in church. Is that how you say Cameroonians? People from Cameroon in church. Okay, where else? Africa? Where? Namibia. Who's here from Namibia? Don't just shout at African country. Shout out if you're from there, people. I've only got 27 minutes to go. You're killing me. We've got a guy over here shouting at Egypt, Namibia. There's no one here from that place. Shush. Okay, anyone else from another African place? Where? Zambia. Gambia. Amazing Gambia. I've never been to Gambia. Okay, anyone else? Mauritius. Is that part of Africa? Mauritius! Come on, let's put our hands together for Mauritius. Wow, I want to go to Mauritius. Okay, we're going to go to Europe. Europe, give me Poland. Give me away, Poland. Dzień dobry. Germany. France. Bonjour, ça va? Okay, and anyone else? European countries? Scotland is a principality of England. Sit down, sir. Okay, where else? Where else we got? Where? Northern Ireland. We love Northern Ireland. Where else? Wales. The land of my fathers. Give that man a pay rise, sir. Awesome. Where else? Belgium. Welcome, Belgium. Where else? Italy. This was a good idea when I started. Okay, so who else? Europe. Spain. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Dame un beso. Give me a kiss. Where else? Europe. Czech Republic. I know a Czech Republic word. Moving on, quickly. Someone else. Greece. Endaxi. Okay. Endaxi. Where else? Austria. Do we have Austrians in church? Romania. Welcome, Romania. Good to see you. Oh, Europe. Where else? Europe. Latvia. Awesome, Latvia. Croatia. Where else? Speak now. Forever hold your peace. Okay. Any Aussies in church? Australia is in the house. Welcome. Sit down, Australia. Sophie, do you represent Australia or South America? Chile. South Americans. Who else we got? South America. Where we got? Costa Rica, awesome. Somebody said New Zealand. New Zealand, the land of orcs and hobbits. We love the Kiwis. Okay, who else? Brazil, welcome Brazil. Where? Argentina, welcome to church Argentina. Where else we got? We got America down the front. Welcome America, great to have you with us. Okay, we're nearly there, folks, we're nearly there. Ukraine, Tanya, Ukraine. Go Ukraine. Where else? India. The second greatest cricket team in the world. After England. Then India. And then Australia's down the back down there somewhere else. Okay, who else we got? Over here. Malaysia. We love Malaysia. Kuala Lumpur. Been there many times. We're going to Malaysia next year. Penang. Where else? Philippines. Awesome Philippines. Vietnam. Welcome, Vietnam. So great. Down the back in the pink. Jamaica. Yeah. Did you know this is true? We have a Jamaican in our church who doesn't eat chicken. It's true. We've been praying for him. I put a prayer request for him up there every single week. Yeah, down there. In the middle. Iran. Welcome, Iran. What a beautiful, beautiful nation. Where are we from, sir? With the phone. Oman. Awesome, Oman. Yes, sir. Sri Lanka. Great to welcome you to church. Is that everybody? Korea. You have never eaten a barbecue unless you've had a Korean barbecue. They are amazing. I don't know if there's anybody else. Where else we got? Over here. Hong Kong. Welcome, Hong Kong. Is that it? This is how the Bible starts. In those days, Caesar issued a decree because God had a plan. We got somebody else. Where? Mozambique. Let's welcome Mozambique. Sitting down the back, you should be sitting down the front. God is so committed to his plans and purposes come to pass that in this story, the Nativity story, he had the whole world moving. Friends, welcome to church, where we're not a nationality, we're not a race, we're brothers and sisters. We are one humankind under the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Recently, Sophie did her DNA ancestry test. How cool is this? Sophie, stand up for a second, Sophie. Sophie is 60-something percent Italian. She is, there's no Australian in you whatsoever, is there? There's a little bit of Greek in there, and there's 1% Mali. Please put your hands together for my African wife over here of 23 years. He arranged that the whole world would be moving, so Joseph went to Bethlehem because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, it just so happened that the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Oh, holy night. It comes from the story of Luke chapter 2. A few weeks ago, I went onto Google. I typed in lyrics for Oh, Holy Night, and it came up, Words and Music, Oh, Holy Night by Mariah Carey. I don't want to bust anyone's bubble, but it wasn't Mariah Carey who wrote the words or the music to Oh, Holy Night. In order to understand the story, the context of the carol, we not only got to understand Luke chapter 2, but we've got to go back in time to 1789 to 1799. There was a revolution in France. 40,000 French people lost their lives. 1 in 10 French were arrested and charged with treason. In a post-revolutionary France with depression and great poverty and many people mourning the loss of a generation of men and women, in 1840, there was a Catholic priest who decided that he wanted a new prayer to be read out at the Christmas Eve Mass in 1840. This priest decided that he would hire a local poet, a Frenchman by the name of Capot, and ask Capot to write some new poetry, a new prayer that could be prayed at this Christmas Eve Mass. In a carriage on a bumpy road in rural France one afternoon, Capot wrote the words to O Holy Night, the song that we know as a carol, and he himself was so moved by the poetry that he gave the poetry to somebody called Adolphe Adam, who was a musician, and said to him, would you put some music to these words? And of course, Adolphe Adam, he did that, and 3 weeks later, Christmas Eve, 1840, for the very first time, the Christmas carol, O Holy Night, was performed in rural France. It's a beautiful song, a song I love for many, many reasons. It's broken up in poetry, three stanzas, and the song as three different verses. And each verse takes a different perspective of this moment in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was born. Verse number one, stanza number one, we get heaven's view of the moment. The moment that God came to earth as a baby. It's the moment in Luke chapter 2 where the divine became mortal, the immortal became flesh and blood. The moment when this eternal God became locked into humanity and became flesh and blood. Here's the moment that I know that we in church are so used to. I'm 46 years of age. I've been going to Christmas services for 46 years. And the danger, folks, is that at this sort of Christmas time, we can become overchurched with the idea that God became a baby. But folks, go figure. God got eyes, nose, fingers, and toes. God had a kidney and a spleen. God got a little nose. He got teeth. He got mouth. This amazing God. And can you imagine with me for a moment, the moment that Jesus Christ, the God's Son, fully God, yet fully man, was born. What did the angels do? Did they stare in amazement? You betcha they did. Were they silent for a moment in time? I reckon they were. Don't you think in the moment as Jesus was being pushed through the birth canal from a teenage girl that heaven waited in awe, in silence and amazement as these angels who worshipped around the throne, these angels who knew that God sustained the world with simply His word, and yet in this moment, God took on human flesh. God became the baby Jesus Christ. Did the angels worship? You bet they worshipped. I want to ask you a question. Were the angels shocked in this moment as we read that God became a baby? I reckon they were shocked as well. And here we in church at 11:02 on a Sunday morning, we read about a moment in time. But I want you to know, church, that for heaven, heaven's view was that this was more than just a moment. The reason God came was with an eternal perspective in mind. He came with a view of securing your forever for forever. You see, here's what usually we do in our lives. We usually judge our lives according to our past. Usually when we're thinking about our future, we're looking at the person that we have been. We either celebrate what we have achieved or we beat ourselves up because of what we haven't achieved. And for many people judge their future according to their past. For many people, their past either pollutes their destiny or propels them into destiny. And usually, we know each other, we know ourselves so well that we know what we're capable of achieving in accordance with our past. But church, I want you to know, heaven's perspective is different. God doesn't treat you from beginning to end. Heaven's view of you is not from beginning to end. Heaven's view of you is with the end in mind, working back to now. This is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, He does not hold our sins to our account. His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says with every wrong thing that we've done in the past, He forgives us. And not only that, but He also forgets. You ever made a mistake and gone to God and said, God, I am so sorry? And God says, no problem. I forgive you. And the Bible says He throws it over the Father's mountain and remembers it no more. But you ever gone back to God to pray again for that thing that you did? Say, God, I'm so sorry that I did that. And God says, what you talking about, Willis? Because when He forgave you, He forgot. You see, the reason the baby came is because God, who we know, and we've preached on this many times, God is outside of time. God is not controlled by time. He sits outside of time. He sees the end from the beginning from the end. And so when God came 2,000 years ago as the God child, Jesus Christ, He came with the end in mind. Friend, I want you to know that God doesn't deal with you according to yesteryear. God doesn't treat you according to your childhood. God speaks to you and leads you and he anoints you in the context of the person that you are becoming. This is the wonder of our God. And so we read here in Luke chapter 2, the moment that God came to earth, the only God, the only faith, the only religion where God came in pursuit of mankind. And humankind. It wasn't about us reaching a standard. It was about God coming to earth. And God treats you in accordance with the person that you are becoming because He sees the end first. It was Soren Kierkegaard, the great theologian, he said this, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. And certainly for me, when I sit and I speak to elderly people as they speak to me and share their wisdom about life, they're able to share wisdom looking back and helping me to understand what truly is important. So in verse 1 of O Holy Night, we have heaven's perspective. And Jenny and Frankie are going to sing verse 1 for us. Verse 1, we have heaven's perspective. But in verse 2, we have the perspective around the manger. And the poet wrote about what Jesus would have seen as a baby and what those around the manger would have seen. Recently, I was reading the great author, Max Lucado, and in it, he put it so eloquently, so brilliantly, that I asked our media team if they could put to camera for us a piece of Pastor Paul sharing this extract from the book. So here is the perspective from around the manger, Jesus' view.
Wide awake is Mary. My, how young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has been eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, his majesty. At this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. She can't take her eyes off him. Somehow Mary knows she's holding God. So this is he. She remembers the words of the angel. His kingdom will never end. He looks anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent on Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager and in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? This baby had overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in the favor of a sheep pen. And the worshiping angels had been replaced with kind but bewildered shepherds. Meanwhile, the city hums. The merchants are unaware that God had visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility. Those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. Little has changed in the last 2,000 years, has it?
I remember when my kids were born, both Georgia and Jaden, one is 18 now, one's 15. I remember holding them in my arms, and babies have got this unique ability to look at the person who's holding them, to look in the eyes of their parent or whoever it may be. But there would invariably come times when both of them would look past me, not look at my face anymore, but look past me up into the distance. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what they're looking at. I wonder what they can see. And while it's impossible for us to know what Jesus was thinking in the manger, because he was fully God, yet fully a human child, one thing we do know is this, is that what Jesus saw was madness, mayhem, chaos, the smell of a stable, which back then certainly would have been a cave where animals were being kept, and Jesus himself being placed in a feeding trough. The thing about a baby is that there's always something unexpected about the birth of a baby. I mean, it's always expected, but also there's an element of something unexpected. My daughter was born on the 22nd of August in the year 2000. 3 years later, I was blowing up the balloons for my daughter's birthday. The next day, she was going to be turning 3 on the 22nd of August, 2003. We were actually pregnant. Sophie was pregnant with our second child. And on the evening of the 21st of August, 2003, she turned to me. She says, I think this baby is ready to come now. We were expecting a baby, but we weren't expecting a baby on our daughter's birthday. My daughter woke up for a third birthday. I remember saying to my wife that night, can you not just hang on for another day? She looked at me with the eyes of death. My daughter woke up for a third birthday. Grandma was there, we weren't there. But later that day, we came home with a little baby and said, happy birthday, Georgia. You have a little baby brother. Expected, but really unexpected. And I love this whole concept associated with the God-child Jesus Christ. Frederick Buechner said this, those who believe in God can never in a way be sure of him again. Once they've seen him in the stable, they can never be sure where he will appear or to what lengths he will go or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of humankind. This God-child, Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus was born in such a way is to do with a message that I shared a few Christmases ago. Jesus came as he did, so you can come as you are. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to put on your best. You don't have to all of a sudden on a Sunday morning try to be perfect and holy in order to come to church. The perspective that Jesus had was the crazy scene of a stable. And what's crazy about this God-child, the birth of this Messiah here is this, is that all of Israel were waiting for the birth of this baby. And yet the Bible says this, John 1, 10 to 11, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Because they didn't expect the Messiah to be born in a cave on a hillside outside Bethlehem. Surely he had to be born in a palace. Surely he had to come with an army by his side, but not the God that we worship. The God that we worship did it in a wholly unexpected way, in a stable, in a feeding trough, with the animals all around. Friend, I ask you, why did Jesus come in such a way? Why did Jesus come in such a way? Well, he came in such a way to remind us in 2018 that God does not fit in a box. God does not belong to a church building. He doesn't belong to certain holy people. He doesn't belong to a denomination. He doesn't belong to a certain type of songs, to anything that we can try to do or achieve. Everything about our God is out of the box. He is expected, yet wholly unexpected. And church, I want you to know today that what you thought God was, he's not. He's much bigger, he's much greater, he's much more loving, he's much more forgiving, he's much more wonderful. That's why Jesus came in such a way. And so in verse 2, stanza 2 of this song, we have the perspective around the manger. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Frankie.
Lit by the light, the faith serenely beaming with glowing hearts, by our cradle we stand. Over the world, a star is sweetly gleaming. Now come the
heaven's view. We've got the view around the manger. And the last aspect we have is this, is we have our view of things. Our view. The thing is this, church, is the birth of this baby changed everything. Did you hear what I said? The birth of this baby changed everything. Nothing was to ever be the same again as a result of the birth of this baby 2,000 years ago. You see, here's the thing, this Christmas season, humanity really loves the concept of baby Jesus. We do. Babies are cute. We see them played out in nativity scenes, in church halls, community halls, in schools all around the nation over this Christmas season. We have a concept of a baby Jesus, and people love the idea of a baby. There's no problem with Jesus being the baby. That's not the problem. The problem is that this baby was not meant for a manger. This baby was destined for a throne. The Bible says this in Psalm 24, 7 to 10, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Church, I want you to know something. If he's a baby in a manger, he's manageable. He's containable. It's not the baby we have a problem with. It's his name. Emmanuel, God with us, the King of kings, the mighty God. That's the problem. You see, if he's a baby, then we can relegate him to a Christmas story once a year in the month of December. However, if he is the King, if he is the King, the very fact that the Bible says he's King, to recognize that he is King means that everything is different. Everything changes. You see, nobody remembers the mayor of Jerusalem from 2,000 years ago. Nobody knows who the greatest Roman warrior was 2,000 years ago. Nobody knows who the sex symbol was in Israel 2,000 years ago. But our life has been forever defined and changed through the greatest person that has ever lived in the history of humankind. This baby, Jesus Christ, is one who came. The idea that this God came in search of you and I. Friend, God came searching for you. For everybody watching online, on the online campus, God came in search of you. This is the Christmas story. So this Christmas, I want to ask you something. Is he a baby in a manger, or is he the king on the throne? You see, if he's just a baby in a manger, then Merry Christmas. Have a great Christmas. We're praying that it's a blessed and a happy one. But if he is the king, it changes everything. If he is the king, it means he's first and everything else is second. It changes everything. And that is why the French poet Capot with Adolphe Adam wrote verse number 3, so that you and I could have a perspective of truly who this baby was.
Truly he told us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of praise in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Praise his Lord, oh praise his name forever. His power and glory.
In 1906, something happened that changed the world forever. 1906. There was a professor by the name of Professor Fessenden, and Professor Fessenden had worked with Thomas Edison for a season of his life as an inventor. In 1906, Professor Fessenden invented a new type of generator, and using a microphone for the very first time on Christmas Eve, 1906, spoke into a microphone, the first time that a man's voice was ever sent through radio airwaves. Ship operators, newspaper operators, radio operators, people in lighthouses, people around the world who were used to the coded bleeps and beeps and dots of coded messages, for the first time, unexpectedly, through their microphones in their little wireless receivers, heard a man's voice for the very first time. Little did Professor Fessenden realize the commotion that he was causing as into the microphone he read these words. In those days, Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Human men and women from around the place came running to wireless machines to listen for the very first time, unexpectedly, to a man's voice. They genuinely thought it was a Christmas miracle, and many thousands of people thought it was the voice of an angel. He continued to read the passage, the whole of the Nativity. He read all of Luke chapter 2 from the Bible into the microphone. At the end of that, he went to the corner of his room, picked up a violin, and with the violin, played the first song to ever be sent out through radio airwaves, which is the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. So this afternoon, when you're driving home and you put on Talk Sport or the radio pops on or whatever you listen to, smooth music, I want you to remember the first time that ever happened was with this carol that we're about to sing. So come on, church, I want you to stand to your feet all across this place, and I want you to join with me, join with Jen and the team as we sing together the words, O Holy Night. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.